Good afternoon. This is a joint work together with Detlef Hinnepoeck from our institute, and I'm also a little bit new in this field, and I will shortly explain why I come to the sphere. I will look for an anelastic model on the sphere. I will only describe dry applications and will not to go to more into detail how then this is transformed to a lambda phi coordinate system, because you will then see later that we do that in a more simple fashion then. I start with this approach some years ago, where we want to develop a fluid solver for the fluid behind buildings. And for this approach, we are looking for a simple approach, and then we choose this, what I here now call a cutwell approach, where you take a simple Cartesian grid and then stand all the buildings in this Cartesian grid and look in some sense how you can describe these buildings inside of this Cartesian grid. Later on, we make a parallel version of this model. And after that, at the workshop at the German Weather Service, I have the idea, I can also apply this model to the sphere. And then when I come home, I probe that, and then this was the first approach, and this was, I think, 2 years ago. And now I come back to this and want to present something what I have here for a test example of Pyotr Smolakiewicz. So what I want to do then is, if I have a real orography, I want to also in that case cut out this orography by some straight lines. And then I have here one of these cut cells, and I want to describe these cut cells by information only about the free face area here in 2D of the four edges, and then if we are in 3D of the six faces. And the other information what I have, that is the free volume of the cell. And for the discretization then, I will only take this information and something, maybe some about the center of this void or something like that for the discretization. So then later on, in this model, you have to in the first step, you have to prepare all this information about this crystal information. Then you read in that, and after that, with the help of all this information, we make the discretization. So we don't ask where it comes from. The main thing what we need, that we want that that the underlying grid is a Cartesian grid, or in more general, it's locally orthogonal, which is a property of the Laplace grid, so that we can use it there also. Okay, that's another direction. So here some how I want to describe all the things. The same as before, and I will then take this description for the other things. Okay, how to come to all this information. This is a story for its own. It's not so trivial, especially if you have geometries which are not so simple, and you have seen here this approach of this small Lego or what, something like that, where he has described that with also some kind of refined cells. And there's ongoing research, especially I think in the US at the big labs, where these approaches are used for flows around airplanes, and they have also their large programs to get all this information before you can start to come to your fluid solver. So, and if you now at the Laplace grid, then this information which we all need can be computed for a free cell in the straightforward way, where you compute for all the six phases and the volume this information, and then I took this information together with some cut cell information, then to my program and work only with this. with this information. I listed here some what I think are some acronyms which are related to this cut cell approach. So in other areas, this is called embedded boundary approach. Then there is a method to look for interface for fluids with interfaces where you also apply this method. There is called volume of fluid, and there are also two papers in the metallurgical literature by Piotr Smolakiewicz and other people where they have applied this volume of fluid method to look for the boundary of clouds in a Cartesian grid. Then you will also find something which is called Weller discretization. Weller is an American mathematician which has described something like that in the 30s. Then you will find a lot of that in the Russian literature. Then some people, for instance, at the German Weather Service called this a set coordinate. And then in the ocean applications, they call it shaved cells, or if you look at the ETA method, then there is something what they call step orography, which is a little bit not so nice description of the cut cells. So where you have only three cells and cells which are inside of the mountains and not this shaved cells. Yeah, they are different, but I think, but at the end, they are, in all these cases, you have the same idea. You have a Cartesian grid, and you want to describe this boundary, a boundary in this grid. So I say, not maybe they are similar, but at the end, it's all the same idea. Okay, what the same thing? I think, okay. I think you can look at the other things and you can learn of that what you want to do for your own in that sense. So what I further apply is that I for parallel applications I divide my computational error in blocks. So here also each block is a regular Cartesian grid or a Cartesian like grid. And what we also can do is that we can apply different grid sizes in different blocks, but we want to have here that the refinement level is of the factor 2. And these blocks are, in our code, are the automatic structure for parallelization. And the numerics have to encounter this structure, and this, I want to take here three things. What we usually introduce are ghost cells. We have to look for that for data interchange, and because we have here an analytic problem, you have to design a pressure solver for this block structure, and that is not so easy. Here I will show a grid where we will later come on, where you see six blocks with different resolution. And the variable which I will use is density times the velocity components, which I also will then describe in some of these pictures by U, V, and W, and the potential temperature also. The next things, the computational scheme, what I apply, takes the wind components or this at the cell centers and at the phase values and to compute increments, we have to do an interpolation from phase to cell values and later on an interpolation from cell to phase values. And the advantage of this approach that we have, because we compute all four things in the cell centers, we have only one advection routine, one diffusion routine for the for the velocity component, this means for the momentum equation and for all the scalar equations. So we can apply one single routine for all this. Here, yet a description that we have this phase values of the velocity components and cells centered values. In the case where we have grid refinement, then at the interfaces of two different grids with different resolution, we have here this interface, and what we do at the interface is that we require that the velocity components at the interface, these two small, are equal to the large velocity component. And if we cut this into two parts and introduce these ghost cells, then we set this value here, and here we take the average, and that's we do for all variables which are at the center. Shortly about some words about the discretization. The discretization of the divergence is done in the usual way. Then with this cut cell approach, we take the phase area, the information about the phase areas multiplied by our variables, sum up, and that should be zero. And this approach we are then also use in some sense for the advection equation, where we also use this flux values to then as the things which transport something through the interfaces. The advection operator is discretized in each direction, and here we apply a Van Leer scheme. I have this here explained for the one-dimensional keys in the case that at this interface the velocity component is greater than zero. We have to compute from this three cell centered values an intermediate value at the interface, and this is computed from two values upside and one value downside. And this is done by polynomial interpolation and limiting, and this we apply later on in each direction. So, and how we do that near the cut cells. Here we take, for instance, this is here the free volume, and this is inside maybe of the orography. Then I have this information, and then I compute a one-dimensional stencil with the help of this information, and then apply the one-dimensional advection operator in each direction. So here you have already to do something if these things are zero, but you can this also organize in such a way so that you add some small epsilons, and that you have also four cases where maybe this and this is zero, you get the right stencils, or in an approximate way. If all the other things are discretized in space in the usual way, so the Coriolis term and all other things are all discretized with the help of the cell-centered values in the center, the same way the curvature term at the moment, and then we end up with a large system of ordinary differential equations, which is in this case, in the analytic case, differential algebraic equations where this constraint describes the requirement that the divergence is zero, and we choose the gradient operator as the transpose of the divergence operator, also in this very cool sense. And then we apply for this method a Rosenborg method, and I think this kind of Rosenborg method was described at one of these conferences by Debbie Lanzer, where they showed that you can apply this type of Rosenborg method to integrate without time step limitation on the, in a Laplace grid on the sphere. And in, and in this Rosenborg method, this is here a two-stage method, you have to solve two linear equations where G is the Jacobian matrix of this function F. And in the case that we are, that we have this this differential algebraic equations, you have to mix these Rosenborg steps together with the projection of the intermediate velocity components on the constraints. So we have two intermediate projections, which means that we have to solve two Poisson equations on our domain. I want to say something about the solution of these linear systems. First, for the Rosenborg step, I want to describe the right-hand side for two parts. The first part I call transport. This means this incorporates advection and diffusion, and the rest I call the source term, which includes buoyancy, condensation, drag, curvature effects, Coriolis force, and other things. And the main thing is that the first operator has the corresponding Jacobian matrix is a banded matrix, and for the source terms, the Jacobian matrix has no connection to other cells, so it's a local operator for each cell, and it depends only on the number of unknowns. This Jacobian matrix for the transport is further decomposed only for representation in the advection operator and the diffusion operator, and the advection operator is then replaced by a first order upwind. The Jacobian matrix for first order upwind method, and I solve this first system by a, I have to forget here, by a Bietzi-Gestapp method. This is a an iterative method for non-symmetric matrices. And as a preconditioner, I apply what is called approximate matrix factorization, where I decompose I minus gamma T J as a product of these two matrices. And because this first matrix is a banded matrix, I apply, this is only inverted approximately by Gauss-Seidel iteration, and this second matrix, which is a small matrix pair for each cell, here I compute the exact inverse or an LU decomposition, and what I not have here further described is that you have only to store the inverse or the LU decomposition of this matrix and not the matrix itself then. So you can organize the iteration in such a way that you have to store only not the matrix and its decomposition. The other system what we have to solve, this is the projection, and here I apply a pressure solver. I use what is called a non-overlapping domain decomposition, and I use here in the grid two types. I have two types of variables. I see my my pressure equation as a mixed formulation, as you can find, for instance, in the groundwater community. And as interface variables, I take the pressure gradient, or you can it also see as flux variables at the interface. And this system at the end, this global problem is indefinite, and I apply here also a CG-like method, which is suited for this type of symmetric indefinite problems. And as a preconditioner, I have to apply, or I have to solve Neumann and Dirichlet problems on each of the subdomains, which you have seen at the beginning. And I do this with some type of multigrid, and then I have designed especially a multigrid type method for the lead long grids, where you have stiffness in two directions, in the vertical and then in the longitude direction. And the other thing what we have to solve, this is a coarse problem, which means that we at each step we looked at, we had that our flux variables on all these boundaries are fulfilled coarse pressure equation in some sense. Here you can see not so more, I think. This is an application because you can use this model as a sense, as an one-dimensional model, as a two-dimensional, or as a three-dimensional, what you want. And here I have applied this model to the so-called Gallus-Klemp problem. There was a paper by Gallus and Klemp where they have compared this kind of step orography and boundary fitted coordinates for the simulation of gravity waves, and I have here computed the three examples with this method. And I think that if you look at this paper, that the results are very good. You see here the timestamp which I have used and which kind of discretization. The last thing what I want to show is now the example presented by Piotr Smolakiewicz and co-workers now in a lot of papers, where they describe their what they call a model for all scales. And I apply this model. It was not so easy for me at first to look what is the real problem, how to maybe it's at the end it's not really the same initial flow field as in the paper there. And I think this problem is connected to problem 5 of the shallow water things there. So what you have is you have a large hill, which is a cone and which is located at the position what I've written there, and then I take the same resolution as in the Smolakiewicz paper. And in the Smolakiewicz paper you see you can find the meridional velocity at 2,000 meters, and you show you here I have at the moment I can make no comparisons and so on because I make only this computation and look at this and this, so there are also not so much numbers, and I make here this computation for time step of 1,200 seconds and the same for 2,400 seconds, and what you see is that you have in the systems also dumping, which is coming here from the small and the large time step. So you have smaller numbers for this. So, and here I will show you the same things. I have to mention that I have all these things computed for six different blocks, on maybe on a parallel machine, but not so interesting. And what I want to show here is that we have also made the same simulation for a time step of 1 hour. This is already at the end of the simulation, and you see that here's already more dumping, and I have taken the same the same colors for the also for the smaller time steps, and where you have these dark regions, we are below or behind this simulations. The last thing what I want to show is that I can do the same thing with this kind of grids. Here you see the results at the ground. So we see here, a little bit the hill where you have nothing. And you can here compare the same things with the full grid at 5 days. Okay, it's the fourth. This is at 5 days. Then this is at 10 days. And the same at the end. And at the end, I want to show. I can also apply the same method for tracers, and I can also apply the same method, the same computational method, for the chemistry. Then I take also the same approach, also the same Rosenbox solver I can apply, and apply the same kind of splitting. And instead of the source term there, where I have the small matrix, I have now a large matrix, but this matrix is sparse, and I apply a sparse eluting composition, which is now, I think, standard for a lot of methods, and I can also apply this then for chemistry and other things. And what I make here is, what you can see, you can have here for the flow field, what I have computed, you see, it's not so interesting, I think, but you see here now, it's at the ground, you see here the cone and how it goes from one to one. So that's all I want to say. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's an implicit method. I have that not checked now, but it's an implicit method, and also for for our flow problem, what this Rosenbrock method, you can also maybe say that it's a current type reaction method, and for the computation of these intermediate velocities, I make this matrix inversion. And I think if you like take a larger time step, because all the diffusion matrix at the moment you have no diffusion, but also this matrix for the advection, it's an M matrix, and if you make it take a larger time step, you have more dumping than in the system. So now also you see in this application by Smolarkiewicz, if you take a larger time step, you have also there, as I see, an decrease in the big number, in the highest velocity, what you can see. But okay, I have also some time. You can also use a time step control, and I think okay, already this 1 hour is a little bit too large for this problem. I think people are also are happy with the smaller time step in these applications for this grid resolution.
Can you say
something about the bandwidth of the matrix? Yeah, usually for this Rosenbrock solver, I need for this application 2 or 3 iterations with preconditioning. And for the pressure solver, if I apply this method only to one region, so then I have only the pressure values inside, and I have interface values here where I make this one piece together. So I have one interface values here, the pressure gradient and there, when I take this multi-grid method, which I have designed specially for this lead long grid, where I use this QMR method, and I have the multigrid as a precondition. It's a power cycle, and as a smoother, I apply a plane Gauss-Seidel iteration, where the planes lie in the long C direction, and there I also use again for this to solve this. I again use then as this for this local source. Again, I use Gauss Seidel duration, and there I need, I think, two or maybe one or two durations, and then in this block approach for the six blocks, I need maybe three or four or five iterations then. But I think if I have more blocks, then I don't know what then will be happen, because at the end, I think this core solver what I have at the moment is not the best choice. So it's the same a little bit as the problem what was described there by Steve Thomas. Maybe also you look for an overlapping method, but there is a large debate what's the best. I take something as in the paper by Smolarkiewicz, so I don't look that I want to decrease by my residual by a fixed tolerance. So I look for that in the same spirit, I look for that because this residual for the pressure equation is something like an information about the order of the divergence, and then it depends on the time step what you have to do. Times epsilon times the absolute velocity components, and I think divided by the time step. So if you have a small time step, you have to do nothing or one iteration. If you have large time steps, you have to do more.